Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this morning's live radio broadcast. I'm joined by my dear friend, brother, and pastor in the Lord, Ken Wagner. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. It's good to be back.
It's good to be. Hey, you were going
really
through withdrawals, I heard.
Back.
I know. Ken was waking up on Sundays going, what, where am I at? What? Why am I? I'm supposed to be somewhere, for goodness sake. That's what you told me anyway.
That's what I felt. really did.
Well, it is good to be back right here on KERM Radio. Praise God for this wonderful broadcasting radio station and for blessings on the Colonel. For allowing us to even be here with the things that we go through and say, especially you.
I thought he was going to throw us out a couple times.
We should have been thrown out a few times. But anyways, we're still here. Praise God. And you know what I want to do? I want to bless the Lord, O my soul, and exalt the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell the whole world that's listening into this radio broadcast that Jesus is alive, he is well, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is coming back one day when we least expect it, but he told everybody 2,000 years ago, you better stay awake. You don't know what day I'm coming back or what time. Only the Father knows. And we say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. But you know, the Bible says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is going to return at a time, and what an amazing moment we're living in, Pastor Ken. What a great moment for Jesus to just look upon the face of the earth and all the arrogance of men and the pride of men and say, you know what, guys, you really think you're in control of things, but you're not. And I thank God for my salvation. I thank God. I don't know how it happened. I can't give a 7-step program. I don't know what happened, how it happened, why it happened, but somehow God made real to my heart Jesus Christ of Nazareth dying on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins and sealing me with his Holy Spirit unto everlasting life. I have a hope in the heavens that will never be denied. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are tuning in today, if you have not yet received the grace of God in truth, if you have not yet experienced the love of God that is in His Son, Jesus Christ, that love demonstrating itself on the cross, if you have not yet given your heart to this glorious gospel, this message, this good news of your eternal salvation, today is the day of your salvation. I highly encourage you to give your heart, your faith, your total abandonment unto your Creator, the Lord God Almighty, His Son, Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit and get busy. We're in an amazing moment, Pastor Ken. We are in an amazing moment in the history of the world. Never on the face of this earth, because of the explosion of technology, have we ever been in a place like this. I hear a lot of people saying, well, it's always been like this, but we just weren't able to report it. They just said up in the San Francisco Bay Area, there are over five times, there were 600 earthquakes in the last couple of days in that area, five times more than it was so many years ago.
Wow.
And so it's not just that these things have always been there. What's happening is the birth pangs are getting closer together. There is a birthing that is ready to take place, and it is absolutely amazing how everything is happening faster. It's accelerating. It's getting more intensified. And we are here, and we're going to talk a lot about it today. Your thoughts?
Well, I can say this. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, you are listening to the reorganized, innovative pastor of the airwaves. We got to send you on vacation more often because you come back on fire. Praise the Lord.
Oh, well, praise God is right. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about getting the message out. And today we're going to talk about Romans chapter 13. So let's go there. Romans chapter 13. I love these verses, and I know you will too. Dear saints of God, this is going to be our position and condition at the end of this year. You see, we are in the factual, actual, according to the Hebrew calendar, we are entered into, we have entered into the Jubilee. It's Leviticus chapter 25. This is the actual year of Jubilee. And when you understand what the Jubilee was intended for, even Israeli law operates under the Jubilee principle in Leviticus chapter 26 until this day. And so the Jubilee is all about this first verse I want to read out of Romans chapter 13, verse 8, where it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." This is a year of debt cancellation, and I want you to stand in agreement with me that by September or October of 2016, there will not be one individual that is hearing this message today that will owe any debt to any situation on this planet. Dear friends, God's will is that we owe no man anything but to love one another. And Pastor Ken, this is a debt-canceling jubilee. That's what the jubilee was all about. It's a declaration, a proclamation of liberty, of debt cancellation, returning to what is rightfully ours, our inheritance, our possessions, our family. It is an amazing year, and I know you're in agreement for a year of total debt cancellation with this world. We will owe this world nothing by the end of this year, in Jesus' name.
I can almost promise you that by next January, we talk about this on the radio again, that we will both be over here saying we owe no one nothing.
And we'll be in position to be able to give.
Amen.
To those who are in need.
That's right.
Because there is coming a transfer of wealth to the body of Christ according to the biblical mandate.
It is. It is. I'm just waiting for it to manifest.
Oh, yeah. It's on its way. There's no doubt about it. And people say, well, how could you say that when you spend 90% of your time talking about the end of everything? If people understand, the balance is key to life. Balance is the key to everything. And when we start going a little bit too far in one direction, we always come back to the cross of Jesus Christ. We always come back to the reality that God is in control. We always come back that maybe one side of this day is extremely dark and gloomy and doomy, but the other side of the day is extremely light, gloriously light. That is the message of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen within you." And so it is one day, but it is either on the day of light or the day of darkness. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God separated the Egyptians from the Israelis, and the Egyptians were in the darkness while the Israelis were in the light. So the question is to every one of us, what side of the day are you on? As a believer in Jesus Christ, you and I ought to be living in the light side of the day, understanding the prophetic promises, understanding what time it is, knowing and understanding through the spirit of prophecy where we are in the midst of all that's happening in this world. And so we can confidently come to the cross, the very center of everything, and come through the cross into the light side of the day, the right side of the day, even while a proclamation of the gloom and doom and the judgments of God are falling upon the nations of the earth. The Church of Jesus Christ, and I am not talking about organized religion, I am talking about the genuine, organic body of Christ, the true church of Jesus Christ that has nothing to do with mass, has nothing to do with pomp, has nothing to do with the kind of clothes or titles. The true church of Jesus Christ, believers, men, women, and children from around the world who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this could be your most glorious hour. This could be a time that is priming you for eternity and the great plans that God has for the future. You know, Pastor Ken, a lot of things in this world don't work if certain people are not involved in it. Think about it. The Catholic Church would not work if there was no Pope. Isn't that true?
Yes.
I mean, come on, let's just be honest about
really?
It. Organizations would fail if the CEO went down. Perhaps somebody would say that Kerm Radio won't work if the colonel were to be taken to go with the Lord. But the bottom line to everything, New Wine Ministries wouldn't work if Pastor Vince went away or Pastor Ken went away. That's not true. There is one. For example, America will not work if the government is not here. The Pope came to America and said, well, the world would have never worked out if there hadn't been a United Nations. Well, I beg to differ. I beg to believe, I do believe, that when Jesus Christ is in control, whether of a person's life, whether it's the church, whether it's a business, a radio station, or the country called the United States of America, regardless of who leaves, if Jesus is in his rightful place, it will succeed, it will prosper. And so the big question is Jesus Christ in his rightful place? And we have to look at America and ask the question, is Jesus in his rightful place in America? And the answer is resoundingly no. He is not at this time in his rightful place. Men have taken over his position. Men have taken over his authority. Governments and powers and principalities have declared themselves to be in the position of God. And they're blowing it really, really bad by the things that they are doing because they have excluded the glory and the light of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that your life can't work. Your life can work when you invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You don't need a government at that time. You don't need a pope. You don't need a king. You don't need any institution or organization. When Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, he will make sure that you live in the fullness of what he intended for you when he created you and brought you into this earth. Someone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's the truth of God, isn't
Amen. It? Amen. You know, on Friday, I got a phone call from a pastor in California, some really good friends, and they were talking about the transfer of wealth as well and having God first at everything. They're getting together in Corona with about five or six other churches and the pastors, and they're all praying and interceding all day long for that transfer of wealth to come about.
You know, Pastor Ken, with that being said, you go back to this Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the Egyptians were spoiled. Their wealth was taken
That's right.
by the Israelis that
mm-hmm.
were leaving that world system. And I believe that because of the proclamation of the violent destruction that is ready to hit this nation and other nations around the world, that God is preparing a transfer of wealth for his people who are willing to go out of the Egyptian empire. In other words, all the systems of this world are ready to collapse, and God is going to bring his people into a wilderness experience where, again, he's going to be the healer, he's going to be the provider, he's going to be the protector, he's going to be everything like he was to Israel in the wilderness. In the book of Revelation, he's going to bring a people back into the wilderness to be God once again. And so we are leaving the world system because it's failing.
That's right.
And there's no sense in staying in a failed system. It is so broken. It is becoming so antichrist because the Bible says that the antichrist will come in the last days. He will exalt his kingdom over all the nations of the earth, and it's going to be a horrible time. But we are not intended to be here. We will be going into a secured place prepared by God where he is about to be God once again. And we, like the Israelis, are coming out of Egypt, and we're going to be spoiling them. The transfer of wealth will come to us. Just hope to God that we don't do the same thing the Israelis did with their wealth, and they built a golden calf and worshiped a false god. I don't believe that's going to happen. But I want to rush on now to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time. You see, we need to know the time. And the Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago to the church that was living in Rome, knowing the time that now, someone say, but now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The key phrase that I want to focus in on today is, now it is high time. It is high time. And I want to refer to some writings, prophetic writings, out of that scripture for us today. And so buckle in, get ready, let's go. Take another sip of your coffee, you're going to need it.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. It is high time. It is high time. The first part of this message is very strong. The church is now being empowered like never before. You're going to have to receive this prophetically. You're not going to be able to get this by what you see or what you feel or what you think about the way things are. You're going to have to receive this by faith according to the Holy Spirit speaking it into your spirit. Very strong. The church is now being empowered like never before. This empowerment will define the true church. Strength is increasing in every part of the body, which makes up the whole. A very strong wave of God's power is being transfused into the individual parts. The church militant, triumphant, is now prepared to enter the final phase of conflict with the powers of darkness that have held control over nations, cities, towns, and the like. All agencies will take sides as to who they will serve. My church, militant, triumphant, shall take her stand against all unrighteousness in every organization, institution, and environment that does not honor and glorify me. Great strength shall rest upon my militant church and will cause her to triumph over every enemy. Established religious systems that have not glorified me in the earth shall be shattered and dashed to pieces. It is high time. This strength shall be enjoyed by my church. For 2,000 years she has suffered under the cruel bondage of the world system. Too long has she bowed to the will of men. Too long has she kept silent in the face of kings. But no more. For now I release great strength to my church, even as I did to Moses when I sent him to oppose the nation of Egypt. I gave him power to triumph, and now it is that I have equipped my church to contend with nations. For the nations are mine, and the cities and kingdoms of the earth belong to me. This is the day wherein I am appointing my faithful ones, cities in which they will rule. Their voices will not be silent. They will no longer be confined to the walls of their church buildings. These will have no personal common sense, nor will they have brilliant minds with preconceived ideas or agendas. No, these will be led by my Spirit in this hour and will do what I tell them to do and say what I tell them to say. Their words will be very strong. They will insult all pride and will cause offense in the hearts of those who would not. They will expose the cowards who have plugged up the pews by their very strong activity in their midst. Some shall flee from the churches whereupon my glory shall rest, for they will not be able to endure the strength of my Spirit because of their compromise with the world. Many shall be added to the churches who carry within them a Phinehas anointing. Number two, violent. Violent. I have said that violent men take my kingdom by force. So it is in this day that violence shall be stirred in the hearts of my church, militant, triumphant. This violence will shock the world and its leaders. Those leaders who will choose to serve me will become the Matthews of the hour, and those who refuse will come under swift judgment and punishment. The violence of the world will pale in comparison to the violence I am releasing in them that are my church. Through my church, militant, triumphant, I will tear down all the strongholds of the enemy. Through my church, I will move like a mighty man of war. Through my church, I will restore justice and righteousness in the earth. Through my church, I will fight as in the days of old when I tore down the walls of Jericho and caused nations to slide into pits of destruction. My war is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness that has prevailed in high places. My war is against all opposition to my purpose and plan, saith the Lord. My war is against that which has cloaked itself as being from me. I will destroy the counterfeit church in the land and will expose it for the empty shell it is. I will do this through my church. I will violently oppose all laws that have restrained my spirit in my church. I will overthrow laws until they have lost all their power and will establish my law in the land. My church shall govern the nations. My church shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom. It is high time, and the hour is late for the world. My church shall rejoice in her strength, and her violence will be an ornament of grace upon her head. For her violence is rooted in kingship and divine authority that I have extended to my church for the past 2,000 years. This is the third day, and I am restoring all things first to my church. Number three, part of the message, excessive. Some will say this is too much, yet I say you have not yet seen the beginning of what these times will look like. I will be excessive in my generosity to those who love me. I will cause to exceed my favor and glory over all thoughts of limitation. I will abundantly pour out my spirit of grace upon my church. My excessive weight of glory shall be felt and seen upon my people, even as in the days of my servant Moses, yet a greater enduring glory that manifest and rest, shall be the glory I give. This glory shall never depart from my church. Excessive judgment shall abound in every place. A terrible weight of oppression shall increase over the lives of the unredeemed. Unbearable pressure shall cause massive disruptions in the lives of those who were once elite in the earth. I have raised the standard and sent forth the line into the earth. All who do not measure up to it shall experience the excessive weight of judgment. This will cause suicides like never before. Yet for those who will come to my light, that will be brilliant in my church, shall be spared. Financial disparity shall abound. An excessive weight of pressure because of debt, both financially and spiritually, will cause both mind and body, agency and government, to sink into the pits of despair and hopelessness. This will usher in the transfer of wealth to my church. Money shall be a tool. Your comments at this point, Pastor Ken.
You gave a lot to think about in those words. Those are powerful words on there. and a couple of different thoughts did come. I'm looking at this in the Amplified Bible, which you had read earlier on those scriptures, and when it talks about wake up out of your sleep, the Amplified adds, rouse to reality. In other words, really come alive and understand what's going on. And then it says, for salvation, final deliverance is the meaning behind that one as well. When you begin to think about that, boy, it is wake-up time. I can't help but think of the two different scriptures on talking about the will of the Father on there as well, one with the virgins that came, and five were unwise and went to get oil. In other words, they didn't have everything they needed to be able to be prepared for the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom did come, all those virgins that were ready came in, and the other ones came back later on, and he says, I don't even know you. Closed the door, and they couldn't come in. And the same thing with on here where Jesus is talking about the will of the Father. It came a time when they said, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name, you know, miracles and so on. And the Lord spoke to them. He says, get away from me. I never knew you because you never did the will of my Father. So if we're not doing the very things that you're talking about, I hate to think what's going to happen if that door is slammed shut in the face of people who really believe the Lord but never did anything.
Pastor Ken, we're living in an amazing moment, and we have to be on the right side of this day. And excellent thoughts. Let's continue on in this prophecy, prophetic words being spoken to your spirit, your heart today. The next part of this is vivid. God said, my work at this time will be vivid and without distraction. A clear line shall be drawn. Perfection will outline my work, and those who follow it will be perfect in their ways. I will be precise through my church. This will cause a great deal of confidence to arise in the heart of my church as she sees the vividness of my hand and becomes aware of the vividness of my presence. Truly, two or three shall be gathered together, and I will be in the midst of them. For the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. To the world I also will be vivid. I will precisely cut away all excuses and reveal the true nature of rebellion that has been the driving force of their actions. I will make it so clear that one's mouth will not have words to speak. My truth shall go forth as a vivid sword. My words shall judge perfectly. Part four of this, or the next part, strained to the utmost. In the world, the strain will be great because of the pressure that is. The world will flex all of its power in an attempt to remain, but will not be able to resist what I am bringing. The Pharisaical church will continue to strain at a gnat, seeking to understand my word, but will not be able, while at the same time swallowing the camel's lie. All the prophecies spoken against Pharisaism will be filled up in this generation of scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. The muscle of demonic host shall be taken to their highest degree in order to resist the work of my power. This will cause great conflict to break out everywhere. Upheavals. The flexation of power through Satan will be terrifying to those who have no faith. Scores will be threatened with jail and prison. Others will be lied about in order to remove them from society. All will be done to shut down the work I am doing, but it will be known that I am is flexing his muscle in and through his church. My might shall increase, and the strain of my power will break the yoke of defiance from off the neck of my church. Through my church, supernatural powers shall go forth in double portion power. I will put a strain on the economy of the world and will release a strain that will open up pathways of my economy in and to my church. I am bursting off the bonds of legalism. I am bursting the bonds of sin. I am bursting the bonds of wickedness. I am bursting the bonds of every yoke. See my arms flex. See the strain of my power loosening and releasing the seed. It has been locked up, but I am releasing it by my power. The next part, zeal. You have heard of Phinehas, the one who thrust his spear through the Israeli man and his Midianite woman. I blessed his priesthood forever. and I am now releasing his office in the earth. This ministry is the Phineas ministry that has come to put an end to the curse. Many in my church have been defiled and have attitudes of lightness concerning my glory. These will be thrust through, even as Ananias and Sapphira. Sudden destruction from the Almighty shall go forth through my church. My church is the spearhead that I am thrusting through the land and making contact with all that offends me. This ministry will enjoy the rewards of their labor. It will be a blessed ministry that will be looked upon by my people as a truly empowered ministry. This ministry will be feared, even as the early church was a fearsome witness among them who dared not join them. This ministry will be respected because they have obeyed my voice and have honored my heart. My battle is not against flesh and blood, yet I say that flesh and blood will not enter into my kingdom. My zeal shall send forth anointed ones who will once again overturn the abomination within my house of prayer. And finally, in this part of the prophecy, bewilderment and sudden surprise. Bewilderment and sudden surprise. Truly, the just shall live by faith. Great confusion is coming upon those who have no faith. The plans of the enemy are going to be completely confused as I move suddenly to my temple. A great puzzlement shall rise in the hearts of the hypocrites and those who have strayed from the path of righteousness. And with the Jews, as with the Jews of old, who were lost in the wilderness, so shall it be for those who have refused to believe what I have spoken. These shall be hopelessly lost in a wilderness of confusion, doubt, and fear. Religious systems will find themselves completely unable to deal with the darkness that comes upon them and against them. Perplexity shall take hold of the hearts of those who do not believe in all I have said and will be led astray by strong delusions that will cause great darkness to veil their minds from the truth I am pouring out all over the earth. This truth will be received by those who believe. These will enter into unprecedented realms of glory, as I have spoken in the past. The sudden collapse of what men have built their lives upon, apart from me, will cause terror to strike their hearts as they watch in awe the crumbling of empires, organizations, and institutions built by the hands of men. For I say unto you, there is but one house that will stand during this time, and it is the house I have built by my Spirit. It is the house of faith. In this house I have bestowed my goods. I have filled the corridors with laughter and joy, and every room is filled with treasures of both light and darkness. The treasures of darkness are opening up and coming forth into the light, and the manifestation of these treasures will bring great joy to those who receive them. That is part one of a three-part series called It Is High Time.
Those are beautiful words and something I look forward to seeing. But all I can say is, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. But part of, there's an issue that I see coming down the line with this as well. Because doesn't Jesus tell us that we will rule nations? And in Paul's epistles, doesn't he tell us that we will judge angels as well? How are you going to do that if you haven't done it here on the earth yourself? And that's the issue. I don't think a lot of us are ready for that very, for the very things that you've read in there, what Jesus wants to do, because we're not ready. We haven't made the turn to come before the Lord the way we should. We haven't done His will. We don't have the love of the Father in our hearts towards our brothers and sisters, towards the world, towards the things that we need to do for Him. And as beautiful as those words are, I'm afraid there's a bunch of Christians that are not going to see that, because they haven't done what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Let's go back to something you said just a moment ago. You said, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. There are things written in Scripture. There are prophecies that are written in Scripture that have to be fulfilled. And we're watching many prophecies be fulfilled before our very eyes right now. If you're a student of the Bible, we're learning and we're watching and we're seeing. However, in all that is written, even in the last days prophecies, all the things that Jesus said would be happening before his return that are happening right now, nowhere in any of those prophecies is there a mandate of a defeated church. When the powers of darkness war against the saints of God and overcome them, it is for a time and a season. But even at that time, according to the gospel or the book of Daniel, those who know their God in the last days will be doing exploits.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's never a moment in the economy of God where the true church of Jesus Christ is defeated. Jesus said it this way, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Even though there will be a great war, there will be great satanic pressure. You said earlier that, come quickly, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. And what people are refusing to understand, for whatever reason, maybe it's the way that the Bible has been taught, we're refusing to understand that the church that is in the earth is the vessel through which Christ will come into this earth. I know there's going to be a second coming of Jesus where he leaves the heavenly throne of glory at the right hand of the Father, the same Jesus you saw go up, says the book of Acts, so shall he come in like manner. We understand that, but the Bible also says that Christ is in the church, and the desire of God is to manifest forth the glory of Christ through the ecclesia. The word church is a Greek word ecclesia, which simply means called out ones, not denominations, not religious structures or organizations, simply called out ones is the true meaning of the word church. And to every individual that's been called out into Christ, Christ is in them. The way that God wants to manifest his power in the earth, as this writing has been, is through the church. Through the church. So we ask the question, well then, if that's the case, why are we preparing for the inevitable collapse of nations and the coming of the Antichrist? Well, because God says to prepare. Not in fear of those things, but in fear, in the respect, the holy respect, like Noah feared and built an ark. He didn't fear what was coming. He feared God and honored God and respected God to do what God told him to do. And so our job is to do what God wants us to do, but it is not in the realm of hiding in fear from what is happening. It is, in fact, preparing for the battle that is coming, but realizing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we've got to become acclimated with the idea, the truth, the spirit of wisdom, that God wants to show off his power through his people. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, look at the Bible. Look how he showed off his power through Moses. Look how he showed off his power through David. Look how he showed off his power through the apostles. Look how he showed off his power through his son, Jesus. And then we're told that he wants to do that through every one of us who believe. God wants to show his power in this earth through the church. Now, I have to believe that there are men in government, there are men and women in high places of authority that belong to the church. They have come out, and therefore God could work through them and show his power the way that he wants to. The world and the devils are exalting their power, and what a great moment for God to begin to show his power. But the people of God have to come into alignment and into agreement with what God wants us to be doing. It is more than just preaching the gospel to win souls. There's nothing like that in the whole world. He who is wise wins souls. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Being conformed into the image of Christ is the ultimate reality, but in the midst of both of them, it is to show forth his governmental power, which will be fully realized in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. When he comes back and he deals with the false prophet and the beast and the dragon, he's going to throw them into the lake of fire. He's going to exercise his judgment over the nations of the earth. This is all written in Scripture. And at that time, the millennial 1,000-year period of time will commence, and we will be running nations, and we will govern in cities. And, I mean, the government of God is going to come through the people of God. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years, and Christ will be exalted in the earth. But that is the culmination of what he began 2,000 years ago. He wants to do something in this hour through his church that will reveal his glory. In other words, church, give God the glory. Give God the glory. We give God the glory in our personal lives by exercising his authority in every circumstance we face. We are to be exercising the glory of God in our day-to-day living right now, over demons, over sickness, over disease, over death, over powers of darkness. We are to be exercising the authority and power of the kingdom of God everywhere we go in our daily lives. And if we're not doing that, we're not operating in the true calling and in the function that God has called us to function within.
Those are all very true statements, but the one thing that still concerns me is this. God has given us free will, and that is a great gift. He, when he made us, he could have said, you will follow this, you will do this, you will do it this way, and we would have had to conform. But out of his love, out of his kindness and grace for us, he gave us the choice that we would want to serve him and do the best things for him. And part of the issue is with these things that you're talking about is that we have to clean ourselves up, make our will not because abide by what God wants, but not because he has told us we have to, but out of love for him to do those very things.
Yeah, Pastor Ken, the reality is that these words we're speaking today are not for the people you're talking about. This is not for the lukewarm, the apostate, the backslidden, the people that don't want to cooperate.
That's right.
The carnal Christians have nothing to do with this word. They will be set apart. These are the words of God to get into the spirit of those who are truly following God in this hour and are hearing a mandate. They are hearing a command from the commander-in-chief of the armies of God. I am not concerned about the lukewarm. I am not concerned about those that are being hypocritical. I am concerned about my walk, the church that we pastor, and the people that have an ear to hear right now. People that choose not to walk with God in their daily lives in the way that they're supposed to, this is not about them. They're going to be exposed. They're going to find themselves in a very bad situation. I want to encourage the true believers in Jesus Christ to understand their destiny at this moment in time to walk in the full authority of what God is doing.
And my purpose in saying what I said is to get those that are on the fence into the kingdom where they belong.
They need to do that, and they hopefully should have done that a long time ago. I think we're coming into a time where the apostate church is going to remain apostate. And very, very few of the apostate ones who have played games with God are going to make their way back.
I agree.
And hopefully, according to your point, I see the compassion of a pastor's heart in you calling for them to come. But there's been too much coddling, too much babying, too many emotions and solical feeling type Christianity for people, and they have rejected even the true love of God and the compassion of God. They played games with God. That's dangerous to their well-being at this point.
Well, that's why your words this morning are so powerful. It's really to wake up the Christians to realize where they are and go even further with God and be able to do the very things he's asked us to go ahead and do.
And so your call as a pastor is calling people out there that may be listening that are on the fence to repent today.
Correct.
Not tomorrow, not tonight. Repent right now for being lukewarm, for being apostate, for being backslidden, for treating the things of God lightly, for not praying, for not studying the Word of God, for not gathering together to hear the Word of God and fellowship like God tells us to do, it is his will, for not doing the things that God told us to do. Anybody that is not doing what God's word says to do is going to be deceived, because he who hears and does not do deceives himself, and that's in the book of James.
Amen.
Amen. So we're in agreement.
Well, yes,
and let's go to the next part of it is high time. Let's go a little bit further in this. It is high time. Number one of this second part, we begin with extremely unusual. The church has entered into a phase of extremely unusual experiences. These experiences are miracles, signs, and wonders. A new thing, declares the Lord. A new thing has sprung forth, and you shall know it of its reality and function when it appears. I am capturing the world's attention in this hour by the unusual ways in which I am working in and through my people. A great joy is manifesting in the heart of the church due to the extreme unusualness that is abounding to her account. Again, I am going to surprise the world with unusual events, while at the same time I am going to completely defy all theology that has limited my glory and manifest expression of who I am. I am going to surprise the sinners in Zion, and the hypocrites shall be amazed. I am doing a work in this day that will silence the whole world. Angels shall rejoice in the knowledge I reveal in my church. I will appear in ways that will take the nations by surprise. Look not for the usual, and look not for the predicted, for I am coming in strange and rare ways. My appearing shall bring great joy to those who have looked for me at my coming, and yet I say that you cannot look for me in the usual way that you have been previously taught. For I will blow the perception of many away in this hour as I come in rare ways. I will not, I cannot be limited to your shallow perceptions, no matter how hard you try to keep me in your thoughts of limitation. I cannot remain there. For I have said that my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I have told you these things that you may believe that I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. I am Almighty God. I rule the universe and the dimensions of time and space. Yet these are nothing to me, for I am the creator of all these things. The universe cannot contain me, neither can the establishment of man's religion. I am going to move forcibly beyond the traditions of your own mind, and I am going to explode on the scene and will draw out awe from those who see what they cannot explain.
If I can encapsulate what you're saying on here, before we took that break for the past 2 weeks, everything you said was to bring the Christians into a reality of what is going on, okay, in their lives, where they should be, what they should be doing. And I see what the Lord has downloaded in you now is saying, now it is time. You've heard everything you needed to hear, and now it is time to do my will and start moving and cleaning out anything that still remains, any issues in yourselves, in your soul, in your spirit, and move in my might and my power and do the things that have to be done or else.
I like it, Pastor Ken. And God has raised you up for this hour to be a fellow servant with his heart at this time. We have a responsibility as men of God. We have a responsibility as pastors and, you know, whatever God has called us in the gifting ministry to be and to do, we have got to awaken up the mightiest force on this earth, the body of Christ.
Amen.
We have got to instruct them, build them up, and bring them into this. I don't expect the lukewarm, the carnal Christian that is not carrying their cross daily to move into this reality. It's not for them. They're going to have to suffer the things that are coming on this earth to shake them from their lethargy, their lightness. And hopefully, and according to the Word of God, many multitudes are going to repent by the pressure that will come on the earth. But there are a people that will come forth in this hour who have been carrying their cross and have been walking out and working out their salvation that will be empowered by the things that God is saying. And I say amen to that.
Amen. And I believe they'll go further and further with the Lord once this reality really hits them. And they'll move on to greater and greater things in God.
And that's what we're hungering for. We're hungering
Amen.
To go further and deeper in the things of God. And he's showing us some of the things he wants to do.
They're powerful.
They are powerful. And the next part in this High Time Part 2 is called Unexplainable Reality. Unexplainable Reality. The truth will not be hid, for it shall shine forth as clear as the sun, moon, and stars, and will not be in the grasp of man's explanation. Many will describe what they see and what they have experienced, but they shall not be able to explain it. It is because I am coming in a new and greater depth, in which only those whose spirits are prepared will be able to receive. The most religious will be the most disappointed at this time, for their religious ways of piety will come up before their faces and nostrils as a stench of death. Those who have gained the admiration of men and have been put up on a pedestal shall be left as gods of stone, as the masses shall turn to the unexplainable expression of my glory within my chosen ones. Yes, I have chosen a people in the earth to be the light bearers of this time. I have chosen them according to the righteousness of their hearts and according to the love they have for me, despite their faults, trials, and temptations. These shall be kept from the hour of pressure that shall come upon the whole world and will be seen as such who prosper in this time. These shall be watered with the water from on high and will be refreshed. For the trouble they have endured, they shall be repaid double and even to the seventh. A great expression of joy and gladness shall come forth out of these, for the experience they will have is inward and yet will not be able to be contained. These shall shout with the loudest of shouts, and these shall come forth with the sheaves in their hands, and these shall try to explain their experience with their friends and families, but to no avail. For those who hear and those who see will not understand. This is like the day of John's father, who could not speak for the angelic message he received in the temple concerning the birth of his son.
This morning, I was talking with my wife at home, And she mentioned two things to me, one thing that floored me. A couple of men that I really trusted and believed in were womanizers. They were in the church. One was a pastor. The other one was a leader. And I didn't know it, but she picked it up and she knew about it. She even said they hit on her. And it floored me when I heard that. And that's what I think the Lord is trying to cleanse out of his people. I know he wants us all there to serve him and to do his will, but if we got that garbage still inside of us, it'll never work. And we need to get clean to be able to receive all of those things that God's got for us. And I used an example of that in one of the times that I preached when you were gone on there. And I said, we got to get rid of all the garbage because there's no room for the good. If we don't have all garbage in ourselves, how can we pile in all the good things of God into us because there's no room for it?
So the deepest desire, if I'm understanding what you're saying, the deepest desire that men and women of God around the world should possess at this time is a desire for sanctification.
Correct.
A desire for an inward cleansing of the heart and mind.
Correct.
A separation from all carnality and old human-natured Adamic ways.
Correct.
And to become more like Christ.
Amen.
And to possess his thoughts. And really what I'm reading are just, I believe, the Father's thoughts. I believe this is the heart of our Father. This is the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ to his people. These words are not just coming out of, you know, left field. They are in the Word of God. Every one of these things we're really talking about can be backed up by the Word of God. These are not some outside of the Word ideas. And so God is wanting to inspire us by the things he's revealing to us so that these inspirational things will be greater than the depravity of human nature. Going and sleeping around with another man's wife. I mean, when does that come to an end? Fornicating around everything. When does that come to an end? I mean, when do you find out that that's not going to satisfy? Drugs won't satisfy. Alcohol won't satisfy. Money won't satisfy. Power won't satisfy. Ultimately, all these things lead into the ultimate chasm of emptiness. So God is wanting to fill those voids in our lives with the inspiration of what he's wanting to do. And he's speaking to a people right now, Pastor Ken, and he's saying, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to step into. I want you to migrate into this. I want you to journey into this by faith. I want you to take hold of the things I'm saying.
I can't help but think when you were talking about all the different things of the world, how we try and clothe ourselves with it, money, riches, glory, power, all those things. When you die, they'll no longer be with you. What have you got up in heaven that you're going to be able to clothe yourself with? That's really what it's coming down to.
Amen. Amen. I just want to be standing on the right side of the day. I know you do, and I know
Amen.
Multitudes of others want to. Let's go on to the next part of this prophecy. Extraordinary occurrence. Extraordinary occurrence. Things are going to happen. Events around the world shall be multiplied and intensified. These events shall not be of a usual or ordinary nature, but shall be extraordinary in nature and power. What is it that I am speaking of, says the Lord? I am speaking of release to the creation that has groaned and travailed under the bondage of corruption since the world began. I am declaring the release of my people first. First, the saints shall experience the release of pain and suffering. All around the world, persecutors shall fall upon the ground, bowing their faces to the earth, asking those who they persecuted to forgive them. This will happen in a national way as I begin to reveal myself to governmental authorities, as I did in the days of Abraham, my friend. I will visit national leaders in their dreams and cause deep disturbances within them that will usher in my presence. The plans of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy shall suddenly cease. A revolution of violence shall undercut the foundation of evil. Principalities and powers shall come crashing down as I appear in a rare performance of demonstration and power. My appearing shall make the military strength of all the nations of the earth pale in comparison. My army is being gathered together and they are ready. They are well equipped and well able to do what I have given them to do. See the horses standing upon their hind legs. Hear the neighing of the thousands. Heads will look one way, then suddenly turn to another, and each event shall awaken the senses of the nations to the reality of my presence. Where? In my beloved church. My church shall be the first to enjoy the perfection of liberation from pain and suffering. These two powers shall have perfected within them forever the character and nature that I have destined for them. Both suffering and pain shall be swallowed up by joy and gladness, health and well-being. The people in whom I do this will wonder at the release in their spirits and souls and bodies. In other words, Pastor Kim, what I see here is God is using the pain and the suffering that is definitely rising and has risen against the body of Christ, but he's going to use that to perfect in the people a truth that cannot be denied or turned away.
Years ago, when I heard a priest talking about this, when communism came into China, and the priest said, I'm really thankful that communism came in. And I was shocked when I heard him say that. And the commentator asked, can you explain that? He says, yes, I can. He says, because every flake that was out here, every pastor that was out for his own gain, every evangelist for his own benefit, ran out of the country so fast, made your head spin. He says, the true believers, the true pastors stayed there, willing to take all the punishment that was going to come down to help the people and stand with them. And that was what I see God beginning to do here as well, really testing us to see if we're going to truly stand for him and for his people and to help them in time of need.
You know, you remind me, I think it was yesterday or today, Billy Graham, 97-year-old now,
right.
One of the magazines just reprinted an article that he had written, I think it was in the 1970s. It was a message that he preached, and they brought it out again. Billy Graham asked his son and the ministry to bring these words to America again. And this was a godly man. This man preached the gospel, and souls were brought to faith in Jesus Christ, I mean, in a magnificent way.
Right.
And now he has issued a warning through this older message about the coming persecution in the United States of America. Billy Graham, at 97, is warning Americans to prepare for the coming persecution. The message that I'm sharing today for the people is not an exclusion of what will be and what already is taking place. And while some people would mock and scoff at the idea of any form of Christian persecution in America, we've already begun to see Christian persecution in America. And at a moment, the veil will be lifted and the mask will be removed of what has come into this nation. And it is a very extreme time once again. So I'd love to get that message from Billy Graham. The way he articulated the message was so precise and so profound. And for a 97-year-old evangelist like this to bring that warning back to this country, I would be very diligent about praying that one through. The next part of this message, the final part of part two of It Is High Time, is highly remarkable. Highly remarkable. Due to the highly remarkable events that are now to take place, a great release of books will come forth. Writers from around the world will be publishing like never before. Radio, television, and other forums will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and will pour forth his knowledge to the nations. What once was observable will be observed no more, for I am taking the stage, says the Lord. Who will get the glory for these things? I and I alone, says the Lord. I am the preeminent one, and I will share my glory with none. I will freely give my glory to those who are in right standing with me, and these shall know that what they have has been given and will have no problem expressing their thanksgiving before all men. What I say to you, I say to all. Be ready, for the time has come for these things to come to pass. Watch, for I come in an hour when you think not. Surely I come, says the Lord. I come to do the most unusual, extraordinary, unexplainable, and highly remarkable things in my beloved, so that all the world may know that I have loved you, my church, with an everlasting love, and that you may know that I am God, I am not a man that I should lie, but will begin to execute this day in the lives of many the things which I have declared through my servants, the prophets." And dear friend, if you're listening to this message today and you have not become the apple of God's eye by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, it is high time. It is high time for you. It is high time for every man, woman, and child in this nation and around the world to look up and see the glory of God Almighty and His love demonstrated in His Son, Jesus Christ, His death on the cross. That was the demonstration of God's love. God does not love people in empty words. He does not love people in emotions or in feelings. He loved this world in an act of love known as the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is at the center of the universe. The cross is at the center of everything. So again, when we go way far to one side, and then we go way far to another side, or we go too far up or too far down or too far ahead or too far back, we always come back to center. We always come back to one all-pervasive reality, the cross of Jesus Christ. And I love, Pastor Ken, what the Apostle Paul wrote about the cross in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The cross is the power of God to us who are saved by it.
I'm really grateful that God has given you the wisdom that He has and that you could speak forth these very words, because truly a lot of the things you said are words of correction for a lot of people. And I know when we speak correction, it hurts at times, okay? But it's a temporary hurt, because when the perfection comes forth, when we're dealing with the hurts, there's a new glory, there's a new peace, there's a new closeness with the Lord that comes, and we begin to move on because those obstacles are removed. So I just encourage you to keep on what you're saying and what you're doing with the church and on the radio, so people can know what they are supposed to go ahead and do and wake them up. Be a clarion call to the people. And that's what I believe He's doing with you.
Well, thank you, Pastor Ken. I appreciate that. And, you know, as you spoke that, one of the reasons, and I shared this on last Tuesday when we came back on the air, and Colonel, I apologize. I know I came in at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, and you were so into your talk. I ousted you right out of there. I don't know what happened. I felt, oh my gosh, what just happened? I wasn't supposed to be on until 11:30, but the colonel we kind of agreed, and it was okay. But I came back on Tuesday, and I shared something that happened while we were in Florida. Yes, it was a time of rest. Yes, we had an opportunity to enjoy ourselves. Our rest was not just sleeping in bed. Our rest was not showing up to the pulpit, not showing up to the radios, not showing up, because we do a lot. I mean, we've been preaching behind the pulpit on Saturday evenings, every Sunday morning here on radio, and then Sunday afternoon at church, and then Sunday night on Blog Talk Radio, and then we have our Tuesday night Blog Talk Radio, and then we have our Wednesday night Bible studies, Thursday night Blog Talk Radio, Friday night Blog Talk Radio, and then we have radio out of Missouri that we do Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 7:45.
I don't know how you do it.
My wife teaches every Thursday night, Patricia does. So we're doing so much. And, you know, sometimes by doing so much, you could really get out of step with God. And we began to feel as though we're not being effective anymore. I began to feel a lack of effectiveness. And so I was feeling that it was done, that my time was finished. I was really beginning to think that it was time to just go home and be with the Lord. I really felt that way, and I don't know how I got into that position, but I just felt, you know what, I'm done. I've said everything that needs to be said. I can't just keep repeating, you know, myself. I told people what I believe God has said, And so I thought it was finished. And before leaving on Sunday, October 18th, which was Patricia and I's anniversary, that was the catalyst to get us out and to enjoy some time.